Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Basra's Kufta Zion. We're in Yesh Nochlin, the eighth parak of Baba Basra. We're talking about Yerusha, about estate being transferred from one generation to the next. We saw the Mishnah yesterday on Kufta Zvav Amud Aleph about Seder Nachlos and the line of succession. So the Mishnah gives us the basic line of succession regarding who's the order of inheriting. So number one is the son. Number two is the daughter. So the daughter, if there's a son and a daughter, so the son inherits to the exclusion of the daughter, which we've already been discussing that at length. Next in the line of succession is the father. Now the Mishnah actually doesn't put it in right there at that point. The Mishnah waits till the end of the Mishnah in order to put that in. As I suggested yesterday, probably coordinates with the Torah, because the Torah itself doesn't mention that the father's Yerush his son, for, again, reasons which we already discussed, a couple suggestions. The Ramban and Chumash gives a number of suggestions of why that should be. Then after that, then the brothers of the deceased, and then after that, the uncles of the deceased, paternal uncles. Okay, the that is the line of succession as pointed out by the Mishnah. When it comes to the son or to the daughter, so let's deal with son. So when it comes to the son, so the first thing you look for before going to anyone else is if there's a son or if there is a successor to the son. Meaning if the son left a son, or the line of son left a daughter. So under those circumstances, so then it goes to the Yotzei Chalatzav Shel HaBen. So let's say the son left a daughter, the son is no longer alive. And let's say the son had a number of aunts, meaning the deceased father had sisters. So under those circumstances, so then the son of the son or the daughter of the son is going to get everything to the exclusion of his aunts. Because again, the ben is called labas, and the yotzei chalatzav shel ben is going to become labas. Okay. What I said is pretty straightforward. It's all logical. And the tzedukim didn't want to hear from it. The tzedukim, who were a group of people who started during Bayis Sheni and basically rejected Torah Shabbat Peh, so they didn't want to hear from it. They thought like this, that if, let's say, the dead is survived by a number of daughters, or even one daughter, and let's say survived by a son, but it wasn't survived by a son, meaning had a son, but the son died. And then, but the son who died left over a daughter. So now I have for the estate, I have a granddaughter and I have a daughter. So the tzedukim said, well, let's think this through. It doesn't make sense that the daughter's going to get nothing and the granddaughter's going to get everything. That doesn't make any sense. So the tzedukim said that we're going to have an equitable division between the granddaughter and the daughter. That was the thought process of the tzedukim. And as I pointed out yesterday, Shir, so not only was it a thought process, but the tzedukim were a very politically powerful influence in the time of Bayis Sheni. And in fact, at certain points historically, their thought and the way they interpreted Torah became the accepted practice. It wasn't right. It's not the correct pshat. It's not the correct halacha. But that's how it ended up sometimes. So what we got stuck in the middle yesterday, and we're going to start again, is we read from Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis is a braisa in which it lists the days which are, some of the days are sad days, some of the days are Yom Simcha. So minor simchas, but still Yemei Simcha. So we are now going to go back to Tanya we learned in the braisa. So what we're going to be learning over here is the vikuach. There was a fight, there was an argument between Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and one of the tzedukim over this particular issue that we're discussing right now. And so let's just go back and we're going to read the braisa again. Did Tanya, Gemara quotes a braisa. We are in Kuftes Vav Amud Beis. It's about 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud. It's the first word in the line. Arba Vesem Teves, we're on the 24th day of Teves. Tavna Ladina Na. So the law got reinstated to what it should be, meaning the halacha of Yerusha was brought back. Because the tzedukim thought that the granddaughter and the daughter should divide equitably the estate. And again, when we say granddaughter over here, we mean that she is the daughter of the son of the deceased. And the son didn't survive. So in other words, so you're basically now having two progeny. One is a daughter and the other is a granddaughter. And the tzedukim said, okay, let them divide it equally. Now in terms of a vikuach, who's going to argue with the tzedukim? So they sent out Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai lived during the Churban Bayis Sheni, the destruction of the Second Temple. As I mentioned yesterday, I don't know if this was before or after the Churban, but either way, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was the one who had to deal with the tzedukim. So Amar Lahem Shotim Minayin zelachem v'lo haya adam she'achziru davar chutz mizaken echad. So he said to them, show it to me, you guys are fools, what are you thinking? And no one wanted to argue with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, but there was an elderly tzeduki who came in and argued. Sha'ayim mefadfei kenegdo, v'yomer, Uma bas beno haba mikoch beno tirshenu, bito haba mikocho lo kol shekein. So the tzeduki said, well, let's think this through. In other words, I have the bas beno, I have the granddaughter, meaning the daughter of the son of the deceased, and haba mikoach beno. Now she's coming through, what's her argument, what's her strength? Her strength is her father. Meaning that my father is the son of the deceased. Okay. Now, and therefore she's entitled to Yerusha. Bito haba mikocho lo kol shekein, but the bito, but the daughter, she's not coming through somebody else. She's coming because she's a daughter. So the tzeduki said, so doesn't it make sense? Meaning that a granddaughter who's only a derivative yoresh, she should be getting more, or she should be getting everything to exclusion of the daughter who is not a derivative yoresh. She is the yoresh. She's inheriting.
Isn't this rational? Isn't that form of Torah Shabbat for them? I mean,
it's a kavachomer, right? It's.
But I mean, they shouldn't be doing this if they're a true believer in Torah.
I think you're both right. Meaning, I think Ben's right. In other words, it's some form of kav v'chomer.
I know, but they
look at
it as a logic.
Okay, fine. You have to say. In other words, without Torah Shabbal Peh, you get to these situations where the Torah doesn't say, and I got to figure it out. And okay, so I'll give an argument, and that's what the Tzeduki did. He gave an argument. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said, okay, it's fine. I hear the argument. I hear it, and I reject it. So Kara Alav is a mikra hazeh. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, well, let me introduce you to a couple of psukim. Psukim in Bereishis regarding Esav and the descendants of Esav. Eila b'nei Seir, achori Yoshe Aretz. These are the sons of Seir, and they are Lotan, v'shavah, v'tzivon, v'ana. So, the ksiv, Eila b'nei Tzivon, ayeva ana. So these are the sons of Tzivon. So we have now conflicting reports regarding Ana. Was Ana a brother of Tzivon, or was he a son of Tzivon? And the answer is, and this is going to be put this in the category of extraordinarily unusual relationships, but the answer is yes. The answer is yes. Ela Malamich about Stephen Alimo. So Stephen had an ancestral relationship with his mother, Vaholid Anna. And as a product of that ancestral relationship, out came Anna. So now Anna is both his. Yeah, I know. So Anna is his son and his brother. It's both. Yes and yes. And so what? And so, as the Rashi points out over here, Ela Tzivon Baal Imo V'Holi Mimenu Ana Nimtza. Meaning the Rashbam. Rashbam is towards the bottom of the Amud. From the bottom, it's six lines up. Nimtza Shu Achav Uvano. So now it comes out that Ana to Tzivon is both a brother and a son. Vein Lamar Debeno Shel Tzivon Haya V'Hai Dekarilei Ben Seir Lo Mishum Shayu Achav Shel Tzivon Ela Lashmen Debenei Banim Harein Kebanim Imkein Lo Lechlev Gabi Tzivon. Okay, the Rashbam says, don't tell me that the word banim over here is used loosely, and banim just simply means a grandson. The Rashbam says that's not the point over here. Let me dekar mit sevan v'ana achim hayu umiyu midichsiv yoshve aretz. Now it says regarding them, they are yoshve aretz shamina mehachad de bnei banim harein ke banim lenachala. What do you see over here? What you see over here is that as far as Nachla is concerned, a grandson is going to be tantamount to a son. So that means to say that if, again, we're discussing now a granddaughter and a daughter, but again, the granddaughter is a daughter of the son. So basically what she is she's a representative of the son. So what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is arguing back to the Tzeduki is, look, what do I have over here? I don't have a granddaughter and a daughter. I have a granddaughter who's really the son. So I really have a son and a daughter. And again, you agree with me that if you have a son and a daughter, the son is going to inherit over the daughter. So over here, what we're learning through the unusual ancestral relationship of Bnei Esav is that basically the idea is that Bnei Banim Harin Kebanim. And really, a grandson is really no different than a son. In this case, it's a granddaughter, but the granddaughter is really just a reflection of the son.
Is Esav considered Jewish? I'd be like...
It's not. The answer is no. But to your point, however, we're just establishing how to view relationship, familiar relationships. If the Torah is telling us over here how for us to process and think about familiar relationships. So okay, we're going to take the idea and apply to the halachas of Yerusha. So Amar Rav Papa, where did I go? Sorry. Yeah. So Vaholi Dano Vidilma. I'm sorry, Vidilma. Thank you. I thought I missed something. Vidilma Treyanahava. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. Okay, but we could be Malamit Chus. Right, a little bit benefit of the doubt, meaning we're assuming that the Ana is the same Ana. Maybe the two of them. And so therefore you don't have to come onto this idea of ancestral relationship and yes, he's my brother and yes, he's my father and okay, so you don't have to say all that. Amar Rabba, Amina Milsa Delo Amra Shvar Malka. So I said something that was, you're suggesting something that that wasn't said by Shvar Malka, and Shvar Malka is code for Manu Shmuel, meaning Shmuel never said something like that. Shmuel is referred to as Shvar Malka, as Rashman points out over here, because all monetary law went like Shmuel, so in this regard he was like a king, meaning he was the determining factor of who got what money, etc., etc. Anyway, another version of the response was Rav Papa said, I never heard this from Shvar Malka. From his perspective, Shvar Malka is Umanu Rabba. Rabba to Rav Papa was Shvar Malka. As we established just in yesterday's daf, we said that when we have a machlok between Rabba and Rav Yosef, the halacha falls like Rabba most of the time. Yesterday, we went over the three exceptions in halacha where the halacha falls like Rav Yosef, not like Rabba. But the default position is that we hold like Rabba over Rav Yosef on monetary law. Anyway, Amar Kra, whoever said it, either Rav Papa said it or it was Rabba who said it, but either way, Hu Ana de Mikara. No, because the Pasuk says Hu Ana, meaning it's the same Ana. So we know that. When describing Anan's relationship to Tzivon, are they brothers? Yes. Are they father-son? Yes. What? So in other words, what we said, is a product of an ancestral relationship. Okay. Amarle, back to the dialogue. So we're still in the Vikuach between the Tzeduki and Rav Yochanan and Zakkai. So Rav Yochanan and Zakkai treated the Tzeduki to a little bit of familiar relationship in the Torah between Anan and Tzivon, and you see, B'nei Banim Hari Kim Banim. And so the granddaughter is really a son, meaning she represents the son, and therefore she gets everything. So Amar Lei, so the Tzeduki says, now back to Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Rebbe Bekachata Patrani? Really? That's how you're going to dismiss me? You're going to dismiss me with that? So Amar Lo Shota. Now what was the Tzeduki saying? Tzeduki was saying to, and I'm saying it like the Rashbam right now, the Tzeduki was saying to Rav Yochanan Zakkai, we're not discussing a grandson. Meaning, you're giving me Ana and Tzivon. Ana and Tzivon are males. We're not talking about that. We're having a discussion of a daughter and a granddaughter. It's a different discussion. Meaning, between us here in the room, it's not a different discussion. It's the same discussion. But from the Tzeduki standpoint, it's a different discussion. You want to tell me the grandson takes the place of a son? Fine. We're talking about a granddaughter over here. Don't you see it as being different? B'kachatapotreni? So Amar Lo, so the Rav Yochanan Mizaki says to the Tzeduki Shota, once again, you're a fool. V'lotei Torah Shlema Shalanu Kesicha B'teilah Shalachem. Our Torah is not going to be like your foolish conversation. The Rashbam on the top of the Amud. Eini tzarech l'dchosa b'kach. I don't have to push you off with just, like flipping away a straw, a piece of straw. Umiomi karalo hayachavit zegalos lo tamashol davar. Meaning Rav Yochanan Mizaki was really reluctant to tell him the real answer. Meaning this wasn't the real answer. Right? The construct of Ana, Tzivon, and how they related, etc., etc. It's not the real answer. He didn't want to give him the real answer, explains the Rashbam. Also legalos lahem tami Torah. Well, very strong statement by the Rashbam. Rashbam says because when dealing with the Tzeduki, someone who is not a believer in Torah Shabbat Peh, someone who rejects Torah Shabbat Peh, so it is not purposeful, it is not useful to go and to sit and explain various logic and rules behind Torah Shabbat Peh. And so really the Ana of Tzivon, it wasn't the real source. Okay, Ma, and now he was reluctant, but he does it anyway. Or at least that's the way it seems from this brisa, and that is Ma Labas Beno Shekain Yafe Kocha Bemakam Ha'achin. Tomer Bibitosh Ura Kocha Bemakam Achim. So finally, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, let's consider. Let's say that they were survived by, a granddaughter and a series of other brothers, meaning brothers to the brothers to the deceased. So, in other words, the deceased were survived. The deceased was survived by a number of a number of sons and one granddaughter. But that granddaughter was a daughter of another one of his sons who happened not to have survived, who happened to have already died. So now, how is the division going to be of the estate? The division is going to be very simple. Each one of the sons, including the dead son, is all going to get an equitable portion. How is the dead son going to get an equitable portion? Through his daughter. So you see that if you have a surviving daughter of the of a son who didn't survive, who predeceased, she is going to get a portion commensurate to all the other brothers. Now Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, let's do this all again, but instead of having a son that died earlier, let's now replace him with a daughter. What would she get? The answer is she gets nothing. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, Ma labas benosha ken yafa kocha b'mokam achim, tamer bevita shor kocha b'mokam achim? So if you have a daughter, meaning a sister to the brothers, she gets nothing. So basically, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, so don't you see that a granddaughter, as long as she is a product of a son, she is going to come in front of any of her aunts in terms of the Yerusha. You admit to us, you agree to us that she would have gotten a portion. Had there been other brothers, she would have gotten a commensurate portion. So she would, in the case where there are no surviving sons, there was just daughters, so the granddaughter is going to get everything to the exclusion of the daughter. Now the argument is compelling, the argument is strong, and he won. In other words, he won the vikuach. So on that day, the 24th day of Teves, so they made it like a quasi yomtov. They gave it a certain simcha status. I guess no tachanun, I guess you would say. I was going to say what else was involved. Whatever. Anyway, so through all this, we got to see a little bit of the Megillas Tanis, and again the idea that if you have a granddaughter and she's competing for the estate with a daughter of the deceased, so the granddaughter, again, granddaughter meaning she is the daughter of a son, so she gets everything. And the Mishnah made it clear, the Vikuach made it clear. We just finished the Brisa discussing this issue. We move ahead in the Gemara. Kufta Zayinam Adalef. We are four lines from the top of the Amud, and we are now at the end of Sefer Shoftim. It's a little bit strange that in the Daf recently we just went through the last two stories of Sefer Shoftim. So the second to last story was Pesel Micha, and just recently we spent a little bit of time discussing that in the Gemara, and that was Prakim Yudzayin and Yudches in Sefer Shoftim, and now we are in the last episode of Sefer Shoftim, and that is Prakim Yutes, Chaf and Chaf Alef, and that's Pelegesh Begiva. So Pelegesh Begiva is a tragedy, just a terrible tragedy. There was a particular Pelegesh who was abused and killed, and they looked to Shevet Binyamin to extradite the perpetrators, and Shevet Binyamin refused to do so, and civil war broke out. And a civil war broke out between the 11 Shvatim against Binyamin, and Binyamin was decimated. There were a remaining 600 men of Shevet Binyamin after the civil war. Total population of Shevet Binyamin after the civil war, 600 men. And as a result of that, they were really at risk of losing Shevet Binyamin. Now, it's just a couple days ago, we said, Gemir, we have a tradition that a Shevet is not going to be wiped out. We have that. We have such a tradition. But in this episode, they are actually running the risk of actually getting wiped out. So what they wanted to do is that they wanted to legislate that certain legislations, it was above the norm of Yerusha, but they legislated such so that the land of Shevet Binyamin would remain with Shevet Binyamin. And this is what we're learning right now. This is obviously relevant to our discussion regarding Yerusha, the basic laws of Yerusha. So the Gemara puts it in over here. Vayomru. Now the pasuk itself is not particularly clear exactly what was the extra legislation that was legislated for that particular period of time. Here's what the Torah tells us, or the Navi tells us. Vayomru Yerusha's pleita lebinyamin. Those who were survivors of Sheva Binyamin. V'lo yimachesh Sheva miYisrael. We don't want to lose the Sheva. That's all we got in terms of the pasuk. Something was legislated on behalf of Sheva Binyamin, what exactly it was. So the Gemara now, on our daf, treats us to a little bit more behind the scene. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Debei Rabbi Ami, Malame She, Hisnu al Sheva Binyamin, Shalot Yireis Basa Ben, Ima Achim. If you have a situation where, let's say you have one of these members of Binyamin who did get married and had sons who had a number of sons, but one of the sons died earlier, but he was survived by a daughter. So in other words, you had sons and you had a granddaughter. Now we just established that in such a construct, each one of them, including the granddaughter, is going to get an equitable division of the estate. Now, in this particular history of time, so what would then happen is that here you have a girl now who would get an equitable portion of the estate, and as the Rashman points out over here, consider that she's going to get a huge a portion of estate, because with only 600 surviving members of Binyamin, their land now, same land mass, but now divided only among 600 surviving members, so this granddaughter would be getting a huge portion of land. And so, if she married somebody from outside the Shevet, so now that's a lot of land that's going to be lost to Shevet Binyamin. And they didn't want that. So at that period in time, they made a special legislation that the granddaughter is not going to get anything. How can they do that? The Rashbam gives the answer. I'm sure we all would have guessed it, but the Rashbam says it. Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. Beis Din has the ability to take property, money, and move it from one person to another person. So they had the ability at the time to make such legislation. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan. I'm in the Gemara. Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai. Okay. Adkan. Sorry, that's the end of the Gemara over there. There's more to the Rashbam. I gave the highlights of the Rashbam. If you want more on this, see the Rashbam inside. I'm not going to go through it right now. Am Rav Yochai Mishum Rav Shimon Mayochai Koshein Meneach Ben LiYoshua Kosh Baruch Hu Malei Alav Evra. Rav Yochai says in the name of Shimon Bar Yochai. There's a Rashbam yesterday. I didn't read it. I got to find it. There's that. No, it's sorry. It goes back to Dapim. Kuf Yudal Amud Beis. I'll make mention of it now. It's the Mishum Rav Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Mishum Delo Haya Rabba Muva Kamar Mishum. Right? Ever wonder why sometimes it says Am Rav Yehuda Marav, or and sometimes it says Mishum, right? Mishum in the name of. So the Rashbam over here gives a general Shas idea, and that is when you see the word Mishum, it means you're quoting somebody, but he's not your Rebbe Muvak. He's not your main Rebbe. So the Rashbam writes, Shalom Hurgo Rav Yochanan Lomar Dvarim Mishmo Shal Rav Yehuda Rabbi Shimon Aval Mirabo Yomer Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Rav Yanai. So when you see a chain of command of Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, or the example that he said Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Rav Yanai, it means that you're quoting your Rebbe Muvak. And so it's understood that that's normally who you quote. But if you're quoting somebody that you don't normally quote, he's not your Rebbe Muvak, so you say the word Mishum. Okay. So with that in mind, Am Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rav Yochanan says in the name of Shimon Bar Yochai that any kol sheinu meniach ben liyoshua kadosh baruch hu malei alav evra. That if a person dies not having left a son to inherit his estate, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is very upset with him. Now, the on the daf itself, the Rashbam doesn't make any comment over here. It seems harsh, meaning, well, you don't have a son, it's not always in your control, right? You could try a number of times, and it's possible you just simply don't have a son. So I saw in my research in the daf, so I saw it quotes the Masifta quotes by the Yad Ramah. Yad Ramah is a Rishon on the Gemara. So he says that we're not talking about somebody who tried and made an attempt. We're talking about somebody who made no attempt. In other words, just made a conscious decision, I'm not going to get married or I'm not going to have children, and for that person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset, but not for the person who made an effort. Anyway, Ksiv Hacha V'Avartim Esnach Chasov, Ksiv Hasam Yom Evra Yom Ahu. Okay, Gemara quotes a number of psukim that link this idea that if you leave your estate with nobody to inherit it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset. Next, Ashirin Chalifos Lamo V'Lo Yeru Elokim. Somebody who doesn't leave a replacement in place. In other words, right, somebody who is a good planner, somebody who's organized, so he's going to put somebody, he's going to set somebody up to replace him. That's chalifos. So the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Asher ein chalifos lamo." If you don't leave a replacement in your place, you don't set something up. V'lo yirulakim, you're not a yirei shamayim. Pasuk in Tehillim, and the Gemara says, "Now, what are we talking about over here? Are we talking about a biological son? Or are we talking about a Talmud?" That's a subject for a debate. Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Chanamar kol sheino meniach ben, v'chanamar kol sheino meniach talmid. So we have a debate between Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, in terms of what didn't you set up? So some say, one of them says you didn't set up a son, meaning you didn't have a child. You didn't have a son to take your place and inherit the estate, and the estate should perpetuate. And another says, no, it's talking about a talmid. It's talking about a student. Now, we don't know, this is a common way the Gemara sets it up, where one Amora says one thing, another Amora says another thing, but at this point in time, we don't know who said what. And the Gemara now is going to speculate who said what. This time, Rav Yochanan Dama Talmud. Rav Yochanan says for sure it's a Talmud, meaning that what you need to set up is a Talmud. And if you don't set it up, so you're not a Yarei Elokim. How do I know that? The Amar Rav Yochanan Din Garmei De Asirei Bir. So the Gemara quotes the statement, we saw this all the way in the beginning of Shas, which is in Brachos Daf Hey. The Gemara quotes it here again, and that is, Rav Yochanan went around, and when he did Avelos, so he would do the following. He would bring a bone, the word Garmei means a bone. He would bring the bone of his 10th son. Rav Yochanan had 10 sons, and Rachmanus, they all died. And what he would do is he would bring the bone over to the bone of his 10th son over to the Avel, and he would say, look, don't be hard on yourself, don't be harsh on yourself. In other words, you experienced Midas Adin, but so did I. I also experienced Midas Adin. Do I understand it? Of course not. But in other words, I experienced Midas Adin, and it's just, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain way in terms of how he runs the world. We don't understand it, but I'm with you. That's the... And that's how Rav Yochanan, not Rav Yochanan Zakkai. That's how Rav Yochanan would be Menachem Avo. Now, clearly, if he was of the opinion that by not leaving a son, you're not a Yerei Shamayim, that's not the best way to make Menachem Avo. Right? You go to somebody and you say, oh, I'm sorry you lost your son, you know, but, and I happen to feel that somebody who doesn't have a son is not a Yerei Shamayim. And also, of course, it would, you know, he'd basically be castigating himself as well. Okay, in other words, clearly he understood this pasuk in Tehillim as a reference to a Talmud, not to a son. So tis time to Rav Yochanan Dama Talmud. Fine, the Gemara says fine. That's the way he understands the pasuk. Meanwhile, umid Rav Yochanan Dama Talmud, Rav Yeshua Malev Amar Ben. So now process of elimination. So if Rav Yochanan understands the pasuk in Tehillim as a reference to a Talmud, so that means that according to Rav Yeshua Malev, he understands the pasuk in relation to a son. Meaning that if you don't leave a son, you're not a Yerei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yeshua Malevi had a very interesting personal practice, and that was the following. He would, generally speaking, not go to a base avel. And the Rashbam writes over here, and I'll read inside, it's quite remarkable. The Rashbam writes over here, why would he not generally go to a base avel? Because it takes away from his learning. Meaning, he's learning Torah, and lo hayarotza lehizbato milimudo. That's what the Rashbam writes. You know, he didn't want to take away from his learning, and so going to the Beis Avel would be a distraction from his learning. It's hard to hear. Meaning, the Gemara says it, the Rashbam says it. It's difficult. It's difficult to understand. meaning you're learning so that you can put into practice. Going to a Beis Avel is a mitzvah rab. It's a huge mitzvah to go. So, okay. Anyway, back to the Gemara. So, generally speaking, he wouldn't go to a Beis Avel. Ela lebeiman deshachev v'labani. Somebody died without leaving a son. So for that, Rav Yeshua ben Levi had tremendous rachmanis, and he would go to that particular Beis Avel. Somebody who died not leaving a son. So dichsiv bachu bochel laholech v'am Rav Yehuda merav laholech b'lo ben zachar. So you leave the world without a son. So that is a tremendous tragedy. And for that, Rav Yeshua ben Levi now left his desk, left the Beis Medrash, and went to go by Menachem Avel. And again, so what do you see over here? Meaning, if you really felt that somebody leaving the world without a son is not a Yerei Shamayim, he would certainly not go to such a Beis Avel. Obviously, he feels that such an individual is a Yerei Shamayim. It's a tragedy. It's a Rachmanus. So clearly, he understands the Pasuk in Tehillim as a reference to a Talmud. Meaning that when you leave the world, you have to leave it with Talmidim. That's how I understand the Pasuk in Tehillim. So now, problem is very simple. We thought we had a machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Rav Yeshua ben Levi. We don't have a machlokus. They both agree the Pasuk in Tehillim is a reference to a Talmud. But that can't be because the Gemara says, Charamar this, Charamar that. So the Gemara now points out, Ela Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Hudamar Talmud. Umid Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Hudamar Talmud, Rav Yochanan Amar Ben. So now we're going to go in the other direction. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi says it's talking about a Talmud. So that means that Rav Yochanan says it's talking about a son. But Kashi to Rav Yochanan is Rav Yochanan. But that's problematic because we already pointed out that Rav Yochanan would take the bone of his 10th son and he would go to the Beis Avel and say, look, I lost my son, you lost your son. Meaning, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu works in ways that we don't understand. But clearly, he himself also is of the opinion that leaving the world without a son does not make you a lack of a Yerei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha hadi de hadarabe. So the Gemara says, well, Rav Yochanan personally felt like Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. But then when he was saying pshat in the Pasuk in Tehillim, he wasn't giving his own personal pshat, he was saying the pshat over of his Rebbe. And he didn't agree with his Rebbe. Okay. Just another interesting point, by the way. Rav Yochanan would walk around with the son of his, with the bone of the son of his, the bone of his son. So, right, in other words, basically he's walking around with Tumah. Now, he himself is not a Kohen, so for him, it's an oddity, but he's not a Kohen. But still, there are many Kohanim. So, right? So the shear of bone, right? So Danny making good suggestion. The shear of the bone is an adasha. So, but you're right. In other words, could be that the bone chip that he had was smaller than that of an adasha. Okay? The Rashbam over here writes that it was the tooth. And a tooth extracted from a human remains is not mekabel tumah.
No, it was maybe a tooth when he was alive.
Or it came right. It came out while he was alive, right? Well, the Rashbam quotes a mission in Olos, right? Beis Maletami Amalo Mesim Lefishalaya. I'm sorry, no, not that. Where am I? Here we go. Beis Ma. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm just looking at the Rashbam over here. Kol Shabem Beis Tamei Chutz Min Hashinayim VeAser VaTziporin. When the tooth is connected to the body, so then it's metame. But once it's extracted, so it's no longer a source of tumah. Okay, the Mishnah Olos. Okay. Anyway, back to the Gemara. We're at the two dots. We're halfway down on Kuftaz. Kufta Zayin Amud Aleph and Siman Hadar Ani V'Chacham. We're going to have three statements all made by Rabbi Pinchas Ben Chama. The Gemara gives us a mnemonic to help us commit them to memory. Darish Rabbi Pinchas Ben Chama Ma'ay Dichsiv. The Pasuk says Va'adar Shama B'Mitzrayim Kishach of David Im Avasav Chimeis Yoav Sar HaTzava. Word spread that David died and Yoav died. Now, but if you read the Pasuk inside, so it doesn't say it exactly the same. By David it says Shchiva, he laid to rest. And by Yoav said he was mace, he died. So David Nemra bo Shchiva, Yoav Nemra bo Misa. The Gemara wants to know why the subtle distinction of language. David Shehiniach ben Nemra bo Shchiva, Yoav Shalomiach ben Nemra bo Misa. So the Gemara says that David had left a son, so therefore Shchiva. And Yoav, who did not leave a son, Misa, meaning end of the road. It's a dead end. Okay, pun Someone intended. The Yoav lo inich ben v'aksiv mibnei Yoav avajah ben Yechiel. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's not true. In other words, Yoav did leave a son. So the Gemara says, ala davish inich ben kamoso nemra bo shchiva. Yoav shalo inich ben kamoso nemra bo misa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the son that David left was more similar to him, meaning he left to Shlomo. And Yoav, the son that he left, was not didn't behave like him. Poverty is so bad. Poverty is worse than 50 sets of lashes. Shenemar, the Gemara says, Chanuni, Chanuni, Atem Ro'ai, Kiyad Alokan Nagabi. Eov is talking to his friends, and Eov says, you know, you people need to daven for me. Kadosh Baruch Hu has been very harsh with me. V'ka'amri lechavrei, now his friend said to him, take it easy. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu was harsh to you, but at least you're not poor. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have been harsher. He shamer al tefen el oven ki alzeh bacharta me'oni. At least you're not impoverished. So being impoverished is it's such a bad state, and the friends of Eov said to Eov, look, life for you may not be going so well, but it could be worse. Somebody who has a sick person in their house, yelech eitzo chacham, v'yivakish alav rachamim. So you should go to a chacham and ask the chacham to daven on your behalf. Shenamar, chamas melech malachim aves v'ish chacham yichaprena. Yichaprena, the Rashbam over here explains, is that yikanchena, meaning he'll wipe it clean. Right, the tzaddik has a certain connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The chacham has a right. The Rebbe, the chacham has a certain connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he can intervene on your behalf. Okay. Zakla, we are back to the Mishnah, and now we're going to be finishing up the Mishnah that we started a couple days ago. So Zakla, the Mishnah tells us this is a rule, and that is that ha'av kon l'chol yotze yirechal. Dad comes before almost anybody else. Meaning, again, person dies, so the first person in terms of line of succession is the deceased son. Second in line of succession is the deceased daughter. And then if they have any children, they, of course, are in that same line of succession. But if you have nothing there, next person you turn to is the father of the deceased. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. So, by Rami Berchama, Avia Av, Ve'achea Av, Kigon, Avram, Vishmal, Benichse Esav. So, let's say, again, the Gemara uses the first family. Just because we know, we're familiar with the family and the family line. So, let's say Esav died and he was survived by Avram and Yishmael. I mean, we all understand. That's not what happened. But we're just using the name in the family tree so that we can all speak the same language. So, let's say Esav dies and he was survived by his grandfather Avraham and by his uncle Yishmael. Okay, so who's first in line? So Ezamim Kodim. So Amar Rava Tashma. So Rava says, really? You thought that was a really good question? So Rava says, Ha'av Kodim L'chol Yotzei Yirechal. So the Mishnah says that the father comes before anybody else. So as the Rashbam points out over here, the father comes before anybody else, and therefore what? I'm reading the Rashbam. It's the last Rashbam in the Amud. Ha'av Kodim L'yireshes Beno L'chol Yotzei Yirechal Nimtza Avram Yorishes Yitzchak Mikami Yishmoa. Meaning, let's consider, right here, Esav dies, and Esav is survived by an uncle and survived by a grandfather. Well, in other words, Yitzchak was not alive at the time of the death of Esav. So now, in terms of line succession, again, Esav didn't have any children himself in this particular example. So now, who's first? Dad's first. Now, I understand Dad's not alive, but Dad's first. So now, if Dad is first, so who inherits Yitzchak? Yitzchak's father inherits Yitzchak, meaning that the line of succession has it that the father of the deceased is going to be the first in line. So here you have Esav dying, you have Esav's father Yitzchak, who was not alive at the time, but you have the father of Yitzchak, who's alive at the time. So as a no-brainer, Avram should get before anybody else. Meaning, remember, just like if we go down, so it is son, and if there's no son, grandson, if there's no grandson, great-grandson, v'chule v'chule, so the same thing is true going up. If there's no father, look for grandfather. If there's no grandfather, look for great-grandfather. Again, in the way the world works, that's unlikely, but theoretically, that's the direction you go. And so therefore, as a no-brainer, the Gemara says, the grandfather, in this case Avram, is going to get before the uncle. It's a no-brainer. It's back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Avkodim l'chol yotzei yirchav, Rami bar Chama. Now Rami bar Chama, in other words, he's the one who asked the question, why do you think of this? So the Gemara says, Agav chorfe lo ayin ba. So he said, well, he was preoccupied with thinking about something else. So in other words, he didn't give it the proper consideration, and had he done so, he would have thought of it correctly. Happens to be just last night, we had Dr. David Pelkovich speak locally last night, and he was talking about technology, as you know he's apt to do, and he said that when you're trying to look at your cell phone and try to pay attention at the same time, so you have what he described as pizar nefesh, meaning you can't give everything your full attention, and therefore you're not gonna be able to concentrate on that which you're listening to at hand, and so it just. It's just funny. The Gemara basically said, if Rami bar Chama would have thought about it, if he would have paid attention, he would have figured it out. But he was preoccupied with something else. Now happens to be what he was preoccupied with is another halachic question. So it's not, but still, the idea of pizur hanefesh. If you're not focused, you're not concentrating on the task at hand. So you're gonna miss out. You're right. Anyway, by Rami bar Chama. Okay, so Rami bar Chama had the following question. In other words, this is what he was struggling with, and that is the following: Avia av ve'echav kegon Avram v'Yaakov benichse Esav, Eza mehem kodem. Okay, so once again, we have Esav dying, and he was survived by Avraham, his grandfather, and Yaakov, his brother. Okay, so now we have over here grandfather versus brother. Oh, okay, good. It's easy, huh? Okay, yeah, it's fine. So fine. So Kigon Avram v'Yaakov v'Nichse Esav. So Eza Mehem Kodem, which one of them comes first? So Amar Rav Tashma. So Rav says, okay, we'll go back to the Mishnah. Ha'av Kodem L'chol Yotzei Yirechal. So the father comes before all Yotzei Yirechal. So that means that, again, Yitzchak's no longer alive in this particular scenario. Again, we're just using the family tree over here as an example. This isn't what actually happened. But Yitzchak, in this particular example, Yitzchak was not alive at the time where Esav died. Okay, but he wasn't alive at the time, but he came first. So he comes first, and now what? So now, the Ha'av Kodem L'chol Yotzei Yirechal. And let's take a look at the Rashbam. Ha'av Kodem L'chol Yotzei Yirechal, V'Yaakov Yotzei Yirechal Shel Avram Haya. V'hilkach Avram kodem lo b'nichse Esav. Right. Okay. So the okay. So right. So really. So Yaakov should come first. So Amarava, I'm sorry. So Verami bar Chama, back to the Gemara. Yotzei Recho Shalom, velo Yotzei Recho Shabano. Hachanami Mistabra, Diktani Zeaklal. Kol Kodem Anachla, anyone who comes first in Achla, Yotzei Yerecho Kodmim. So that means now that any of your progeny also comes first as well. The Ilu Isa Li Yitzchak, Yitzchak Kodem. Meaning, if Yitzchak were alive, so is there any question? Yitzchak or Avraham? Obviously, Yitzchak comes before Avram. So once we have Yitzchak now in line before Avraham, so that means then that any of the progeny of Yitzchak is going to come before Avram as well. So Hashtanami Delesi Yitzchak Yaakov Kodem Shmamina. So that of course means now that once we put Yitzchak in front of Avraham, which is correct, so that means that the descendant of Yitzchak, the sons of Yitzchak, are going to come before Avram as well. So once again, Rami bar Chama asked the question, but once again, the Gemara gives a very decisive answer on this issue. So just as a general rule, so we have it that In terms of line of succession, it is son followed then by daughter, son followed then by father, followed then by brother, followed then by uncle. And in all this line of succession, so the way you view it is that now that you're in the line of succession, wherever your place is, if you have children, they're also in the same place in line. So the son comes before the daughter, the children of the son come before the daughter. The daughter comes before the father, the children of the daughter come before the father, etc., etc. The father then comes next, the children of the father then going to come next as well. So given that the choice now is that Esav dies, survived by grandfather Avraham and a brother Yaakov, Yaakov of course comes first, because Yaakov is a function of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak comes before Avraham. So therefore Yitzchak and the children of Yitzchak come before Avraham as well. Okay, okay. Right, exactly. Correct. Okay, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. B'no Sofkot comes up as tomorrow's daf. We'll see a lot of interesting discussion in terms of how much they actually inherited. More than actually we originally thought. At least that's what we're going to learn tomorrow.